It's now 2 o'clock, and this is Captain Rick reporting. I'll be reading from the Wednesday edition, the May 24th edition of the Decatur Herald and Review. Right on the front page, in very big bold print, is the word unacceptable, followed by not passing a budget, Illinois lawmakers are failing residents, and we're sick of our state being held hostage. Followed by this, editor's note, approximately 60 Illinois daily and weekly newspapers are running editorials today throughout the end of the week, many on their front pages, on the need for an end to the nearly two-year-old state budget impasse. The Herald and Review joins in the call demanding elected officials make passing a budget, a balanced budget, their priority. Unacceptable. That one word perfectly sums up the plain, dysfunctional, and instability capital politicians have inflicted on Illinois by their failure to provide a permanent, balanced state budget for 2 years. As the state's credit rating has been repeatedly downgraded, as residents sought greener pastures elsewhere, as community colleges and universities have been gutted, as businesses closed up shop, and social service agencies turned away the most vulnerable residents, elected officials have failed to do their job and show political courage to make the necessary painful decisions. Who they blame is determined by whether a D or an R follows their name. Republican Governor Bruce Rauner is to blame. No, it's Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan. Don't forget the decades of politicians who made terrible financial decisions based on what would get them reelected, not what was fiscally prudent. The finger-pointing has gone on far too long. The state's fiscal problems have created a crisis throughout Illinois, except the state capitol. Maybe the dome reflects the misery that permeates the rest of Illinois, but it can no longer shield elected officials from accepting the blame each member of the House and Senate and the governor bears for the atrocious state of the state. The stack of unpaid bills tops $14 billion. The 2016 fiscal year ended last June with a budgetary deficit of $9.6 billion. We shudder to think of what it will be at the end of next month. The five state-funded pension systems are short about $130 billion. Each new financial report paints an even bleaker picture. Every sign of progress has been marred by partisan politics. A budget was approved Tuesday by the Senate, with no Republican support. Even if the House concurs, Rauner likely will veto a measure only supported by Democrats. A bipartisan compromise is needed for Illinois to persevere. The lack of a budget has not directly inconvenienced most residents, so it has been easy to ignore. But the impasse affects us all. In order for the state to pay off its unpaid bills, shore up a pension system, and eliminate its deficit, it would cost every Illinoisan roughly $12,000 each. Here's how you calculate your share of the bill. If every one of the state's 12.8 million residents kicked in $1,094, we could pay off the $14 billion in unpaid bills. The unfunded pension liability is an estimated $130 billion due over the next 30 years. If we wanted to ensure today that it will be solvent, each resident will need to contribute $10,156 so state retirees will get their retirement benefits. Don't forget the $9.6 billion structural budget deficit at the end of fiscal 2016 add in $750 more per person. The ugly truth is, we are all going to pay for it somehow. And because politicians have abdicated their most basic duty for 2 years, the necessary cuts will be deeper and tax hikes will be higher than they should be. Are you seething yet? Good. Now get informed on issues and encourage others to do the same. There's a reason that millions get spent on relentlessly nasty political ads. They work. They sway the casual voter who doesn't care enough to dig for facts, or they leave others too disgusted by the spectacle and negativity to participate. Elections shouldn't be decided by whom can throw the most cash at attack ads. It's up to all of us to keep that from being the determinant. Next, get involved. Pick up your phone and call your state representative, senator, and the governor's office. Tell them how they made it an embarrassment to be from Illinois. Share your anger that the significant issues that need attention, school funding reform, creating a thriving economy, and building public universities into centers of innovation, to name a few, have been ignored. A year ago, we declared enough. The day after, the governor and lawmakers passed a six-month stopgap spending plan that did not provide lasting stability. That's not good enough. It's time to demand that Governor Rauner and our lawmakers do what is right. It's time for the budget to come first. To not do so will cement their legacy with one word that encapsulates the sorry condition of our state. The word that encapsulates that sorry condition: unacceptable. Time to take action. If you don't depend on the state for health care, social services, or for business, it can be easy to ignore the budget impasse that has created the sorry state Illinois is in. But it's reached the point where that cannot continue. The gridlock will endure unless residents become engaged in the political process. It is time to sound the alarm on how dire the situation is and how much worse the cost will become the longer Illinois does not have a permanent spending plan. We want you to be informed. We want you to ask questions and demand better when a politician's answer is to blame the other party. More importantly, we want you to take action. Here's how to contact the governor, House, and state leaders and your local senators and representatives. We encourage you to reach out to any and all of these politicians to express your frustration. We have even included a postcard that you can clip, copy, and send to the politicians who represent you. Illinois' current fiscal state is unacceptable. It's time we demand that our elected officials did something about it. It's time to demand a change. Tell our elected officials it's time to get to work. And this is the enclosed letter that can be used for that purpose. Dear, and there's a blank, the lack of a state budget for nearly 2 years has made it embarrassing to be from Illinois. The self-created crisis by politicians has caused a huge deficit that is unaccompanied by an even larger stack of unpaid bills. That is accompanied by that. It has harmed the most vulnerable of the state's residents, crippled our higher education system, and caused businesses to hesitate to plan for the future. I'm tired of our politicians putting their party first. Please work in a bipartisan manner to pass a permanent balanced state budget for Illinois. To not do so is unacceptable. And sincerely, your name. The next article is entitled Bobcats Reported in Macon County by Michael Casey, Associated Press. As someone who had studied bobcats for almost four decades, wildlife ecologist John Litvitus remembers many times returning from the field without spotting a single one of those solitary and shy creatures that often hunt at dusk. But bobcats are now elusive. But bobcats are less elusive now as their numbers rise and they become more comfortable around humans, joining the likes of foxes, coyotes, and even mountain lions in rare cases. Bobcats are making a home in small towns and suburbs and realizing there is plenty to eat in the cities. They have turned up in recent years in such places as Manchester, New Hampshire's largest city, Waverly, Iowa, and outside Los Angeles. They have been spotted below backyard bird feeders, waltzing around streets in search of their next meal, and, increasingly, as roadkill on highways. In Illinois, hunting and trapping resumed last year. Nearly 150 bobcats were taken during the first season, which ran from November to January, according to the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. There has been a lot of conversation to get us back to this season, said Neil Graves, president of the Illinois Trappers Association. It's something we haven't been able to do for 40 years. Of those taken, 69 were taken by hunting and 49 by trapping. Another 12 were taken by archery and 11 salvaged from roads. The top counties were Pike, Jackson, and Jefferson. The hunting season doesn't apply to Macon County, where there aren't an abundant number of the animals, said Richie Wolf, Nature Center manager for the Macon County Conservation District. Bobcats need more forest for their habitat than most of the agricultural and surrounding Decatur can offer, Wolf said. Still, the district does receive occasional sighting reports, and the animals are believed to be living here. What should you do if you see one? You should enjoy it, Wolf said. Take a picture if you can. They're very elusive and shy. Wolf said he's never seen a wild bobcat live. They're more likely to come out at night, and they won't attack people, he said. A lot of animals have rebounded quite well, including the eagle and river otter, and we should appreciate and respect them, Wolf said. I would hope people would be thrilled that our wildlife is coming back here in Illinois. Bobcat, North American mammal of the cat family Felidae. The bobcat is a North American cat that appeared during the Irvingtonian stage of around 1.8 million years ago. Containing 12 recognized subspecies, it ranges from southern Canada to central Mexico, including most of the contiguous United States. The bobcat is an adaptable predator that inhabits wooded areas as well as semi-desert, urban edge, forest edge, and swampland environments. The resurgent of the bobcat, also called Lynx rufus and Felis rufus, comes during a shift over the past several decades from treating bobcats as vermin to being exterminated to being considered a top predator worthy of protection. In contrast with the 1970s, when 40 states had no bobcat protection and bounties were common, most now put strict limits on hunting and trapping bobcats. As many as 8, including New Hampshire, completely outlaw both. The naturally bobtailed cats, as big as medium-sized dogs, and known for brown or rust-colored fur with black and white spots on their bellies, also are benefiting from warmer northeast winters that allow for easier hunting, as well as expansion of public lands that increase prey, including white-tailed deer. Bobcat numbers have almost tripled nationwide since the 1980s, to as many as 3.6 million, according to a 2010 study in the Journal of Fish and Wildlife Management, the most recent national survey. Bobcats have been a real success story in wildlife conservation in the past several decades. They are at the point now that they are growing or stable across their range, according to Nathan Roberts, a wildlife research scientist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, who co-authored the survey. In New Hampshire, Litvitz has said, that is exactly what has happened. He estimates bobcat numbers dropped to as low as 150 in the 1980s, which prompted the state to ban hunting in 1989. Numbers have increased ever since. A University of New Hampshire / New Hampshire Fish and Game survey estimated their population in 2013 at 1,400. A website that Litvitus set up to understand the bobcat rebound in New Hampshire features hundreds of amateur photographs of a cat lounging on someone's lawn, another stalking a chipmunk, a third sitting contently after gobbling up a guinea fowl and peacock. They are back in New England, and at least as abundant as they were 100 years ago, if not more, said Litvitus, who conducted much of his research while at the University of New Hampshire. They are adapting to the landscape that has changed. You have roads and people everywhere, and they have figured out how to get along with most of that. The bobcat's success also reflects its ability to eat almost anything and thrive almost anywhere, from cornfields to swamps to suburban parks. With cottontail bunnies declining in New Hampshire, they shifted to preying on plentiful wild turkeys and squirrels. They are clever animals and creative animals, said Roberts, who has attached GPS collars to 60 bobcats in the past 3 years in Wisconsin. We have one animal in particular in a small town that spent all of its time in town going from bird feeder to bird feeder. Not everyone is rolling out the welcome mat. In Massachusetts, police last month said they shot and killed a bobcat that had attacked two large dogs and was coming after the officers. Farmers in New England have shot bobcats. Many people enjoy seeing them, but for others they are a nuisance, according to Patrick Tate, a wildlife biologist with the New Hampshire Fish and Game Department. Complaints about bobcats preying on domestic chickens have increased. Requests from the public to trap and relocate bobcats have risen, and instances of road-killed bobcats have become common throughout the state. Many states have joined Illinois in considering reintroducing hunting and trapping to help regulate growing population. Illinois bobcat. The New Hampshire proposal to offer 50 permits annually was withdrawn last year over concerns that bobcat traps could ensnare Canada lynx, considered threatened under the Endangered Species Act. Now, from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, about bobcats. Twice the size of a common house cat. Weigh between 10 and 40 pounds. Prefer large forested or wooded areas. Placed on state's threatened species list in 1977. Removed in 1999. Estimates say as many as 5,000 now live in Illinois. The next article is entitled, 16-year-old Charleston student dies in accident, by the Herald and Review News Service. Mattoon. A brown dump truck and a blue sedan collided at 1:38 p.m. Tuesday at 6478 Lerner Road, and a 16-year-old girl died as a result. The cause of the accident was unknown, and the names of all occupants of the vehicles were not given by officials as of Tuesday evening, although at least one of those involved was airlifted from the scene. Coles County Coroner Ed Schneiers said Tuesday evening that the female driver of the car died due to the collision. Charleston school officials confirmed later Tuesday the identity of the driver to be Jordan Holly, a 16-year-old Charleston High School student. Her mother, Kristen Holly, is the principal of Carl Sandburg Elementary School in Charleston, and her father, Don Holly, is a professor of sociology and anthropology at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. The school district has had grief counseling opportunities for parents and students Tuesday evening. Superintendent Jim Littleford said there also will be counselors available at Carl Sandburg and at the CHS Media Center starting at 9 a.m. today. Littleford described Jordan Holly as a vibrant, energetic, and wonderful young lady. It's a very sad moment in our community, he said. The next article is entitled, State Dems OK Tax Increase, by John O'Connor, Associated Press. Springfield. State Democrats added spending to a budget plan Tuesday to lure more Democratic support before voting to approve a $5.4 billion tax increase without a single Republican aye. With 8 days remaining before the General Assembly's scheduled May 31st adjournment, Democrats said they couldn't wait any longer to approve a plan and give the House time to weigh in. Approving a state budget after that date would require a 3/5 majority. Illinois has been without a budget since summer 2015. It's the longest any state has gone without an annual spending plan in modern history. The fiscal year ended June 30th with a deficit pushing $6 billion. The state was behind on paying $14.4 billion in bills as of Tuesday. A fiscal outline, influenced by Republicans, failed to attract a single GOP vote last week. So Democrats decided to go it alone and replace previous spending cuts on Medicare, retiree health insurance, and revenue sharing for local governments. They approved increasing the personal income tax rate from 3.75% to 4.95%, and passed a $37.3 billion spending plan, which they note is the same amount Rauner proposed in February while still reducing spending by $3 billion. The legislation sponsor, Democratic Senator Toy Hutchison of Olympia Fields, noted that with no action, the mountain of past due bills could grow 70% by next year. Please explain to me what the income tax will be with a $24 billion in backlog, Hutchinson said. Junk bond status, no capital bill, no roads, no infrastructure, no school repairs, no nothing. If you're waiting for a better deal with the tax payments, somebody better start telling the truth. But Republicans were still pressed for a trade-off under which they could support the tax increase in return for Democrats supporting Governor Bruce Rauner's call for freezing local property taxes and reducing costs in the workers' compensation program. In a Facebook Live appearance at noon, Rauner continued to beat the drum. "We're delivering a punishing tax increase and making the wrong people pay," said GOP Senator Kyle McCarter of Lebanon. Democratic Senate President John Cullerton of Chicago said after the vote that Republicans rejected his best offer last week, a 2-year freeze on property taxes. He ticked off votes on education funding changes, an overhaul of pension funding, and other Rauner demands that were approved last week. He said property taxes and workers' compensation are still in play. He acted baffled that Republicans would so proudly reject a fiscal blueprint they so heavily influenced. "This is a product of negotiations with Republicans," Cullerton said. "The taxes are the product of negotiations with Republicans. The only thing missing are Republican votes." In addition to the income tax hike, the state's 6.25% sales tax would be expanded for the first time to services such as dry cleaning and laundry, storage units, vehicle maintenance, and tattoos and piercing. The latest version removes other personal services, landscaping, and home maintenance. The next article is Father Arrested in Fatal Crash by Huey Freeman of the Herald and Review. Decatur. A Decatur man remains jailed on $300,000 bond after his arrest Monday on preliminary charges stemming from a crash that killed a 17-month-old girl. Matthew D. Jackson, 30, had a blood alcohol content of 2.65%, more than 3 times the legal limit, following the fatal crash May 15th, said a probable cause affidavit by Decatur police officer Lawrence Petrie. At the time of the crash, Jackson's driver's license was suspended and he was serving a term of court supervision for a 2016 DUI conviction, according to the affidavit. It is not known if Jackson has retained an attorney. At about 12:22 a.m. Monday, May 15th, Jackson was driving a 2004 Chevrolet Impala on the 2600 block of East Lost Bridge Road, heading west in the eastbound lanes, when his vehicle collided head-on with another vehicle, police said. Seated in the rear passenger seat was Matthew's daughter, Alva Telerfo Jackson, Petre wrote in his statement. Ava was transported to St. Mary's Hospital by emergency personnel, where she was pronounced dead from injuries she sustained in the crash. Witnesses who were at the scene first told police they saw Matthew lean out of the open driver's door and throw a glass bottle, under the car. The bottle was identified as an empty 375 milliliter, about 0.8 pint, New Amsterdam vodka bottle, Petrie wrote. Jackson sustained injuries, including a fractured leg bone. During a police interview at the hospital, his eyes were glassy and bloodshot, he had slurred speech, and a strong odor of alcohol beverage on his breath, according to the affidavit. Jackson is scheduled to be arraigned by Monday in circuit court, according to court documents. Formal charging decisions are made by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. And that's the end of Part 1. This has been Captain Rick reporting. I'll be back with Part 2 after the break.